Two times during the earthly ministry of Jesus, Jesus proclaims that I am the light of the world. One time is found in John 8, verse 12. There Jesus speaks these words. Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. We turn just one chapter later in John chapter 9, verse 5, and Jesus again makes that same affirmation. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Wow. This is one of seven I am statements that are made in the Gospel of John to describe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Folks, those words, I am, are of vital importance. They take us all the way back to Exodus, the third chapter, don't they? Moses was tending sheep, and he looks and he sees a bush that's burning, and yet the bush does not burn up. He goes to the bush, and all of a sudden, God speaks to him out of that bush. And God tells him that, I need you to go and deliver my people out of the land of Egypt. And his first question was this, whom shall I say sent me unto them? And God answers that, doesn't He? We have the answer in Exodus 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thus shall ye say unto them, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. I find it interesting that those words are in the present tense, aren't they? Not I was, not I will be. I am, He says, hath sent me unto you. Jesus is at that very moment and this very moment in time, whatever He proclaims Himself to be, I am. Notice, Jesus was the light of the world. I am the light of the world 2,000 years ago. And guess what? I am still the light of the world at this very time. 2,000 years have passed and His light has not gone out. Wow. I am the light of the world. On another occasion, Jesus says this, I am come a light unto the world. Sometimes we read these I am statements and we just kind of pass over them, don't we? I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. And we just don't give much thought to them. But folks, when you and I read those words, you and I need to really stop and you and I need to really contemplate what's being said. Each one of them proclaims to us something about the very essence of Jesus Christ. We don't use that word very often, do we? The essence of something. What do we mean by that? That little word, essence. That which exists at the core of an individual. That which is the very root of the individual himself. The little word essence involves something that is real, something that is basic, something that is invariable in nature within the individual. We talk about the essence of a person. We are talking about something that is very, very significant about that person. Have you ever stopped to think this? What is my essence? Have you ever asked that about yourself? I bet most people have never asked themselves that question. What is at the very core of my being? Who am I? And guess what? You cannot describe Jesus with one statement. It takes more than that. And on this particular occasion, Jesus says what? I am the light of the world. The very essence of Jesus is light. And by that we mean this. He is opposed to all darkness whatsoever. And we find that contrast often in Scripture, do we not? Light versus darkness. 1 John 1 verse 5. This then is the message that we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, listen to Him, and in Him there is no darkness. That's what Jesus means. I am light, and in me is no darkness whatsoever. For the next few moments, let's talk about this little topic. I am the light of the world. We're going to be looking at 3 points in this particular lesson. The first point is this: the world is dark, isn't it? The world is dark. I find it interesting that there was a time when our world was light. There was a time when our world was absolutely perfect. There was a time when this world had absolutely no sin whatsoever, and that was at the very beginning of the creation, was it not? The world was light and no darkness. Man dwelled in a world in complete innocence, didn't he? The Bible tells us this, and they were both naked, both the man and the woman, and they were not what? They were not ashamed. Genesis 2, verse 25. Here were two individuals, completely naked, walking around in the world, and absolutely no feelings of shame whatsoever. It was a pristine, perfect world at the time. There was no sin. There was no violence. Death had not yet come upon man, and man was in a perfect relationship with the Almighty God, wasn't he? It was an intimate, loving relationship that they shared with God. God dwelled in the garden with man. He walked. His very presence was there in that garden with them. Sadly, that didn't last, did it? Folks, the very moment that Adam and Eve violated the command of God and partook of that forbidden tree, darkness entered into this world. And it's been dark ever since, hasn't it? Lies and deception became part of the world. You want to know where false teaching came from? It came from Satan, did it not? Thou shalt not surely die. A lie. Deception. On that particular occasion, sin entered into that pristine garden, didn't it? There was a violation of what God had told those individuals not to do. And now sin was in the world. Man now had an association with the evil one, didn't he? Eve didn't just have a conversation with Satan on that particular occasion. On that occasion, she aligned herself with the evil one by rejecting the will of God. Hardship, pain, and violence became a part of the world. Death was now going to be a reality for mankind. Fellowship with God was immediately severed. And now it was going to take the shedding of blood in order to pay the price for sin. Darkness was now in the world. And as you and I go through Scripture and you and I read about this world, there are many references to this world being a dark, dark world. Take for instance this one. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1 verse 5. The light there is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice what the text says. The light shined in darkness. What is he talking about? Jesus was born into this world. Jesus had a ministry here proclaiming the Word of God. Jesus shined into this world as the light of the world. And the world was so dark, it didn't even comprehend the light. It's unbelievable, isn't it? We turn a little bit further in the Gospel of John. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than what? Rather than light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Man loves the darkness. Man loves sin. He loves his iniquity. He loves to have his lusts of the flesh and of the mind fulfilled. He loves the practice of wickedness and evil because he lives in a dark world. Paul told the Ephesians, ye were sometimes darkness. Ephesians 5 verse 8. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, we're talking about our adversaries. And one of those adversaries, Paul says, is this, the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's who we're fighting against. Colossians 1 verse 13, Paul tells the Colossians that they had been called out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Peter told his readers that they too had been called out of darkness, 1 Peter 2 verse 9, that they should show forth the praise of Him who hath called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. My friends, you and I live in a world that is dark. Dark. Point number two. The spiritual world needs light, doesn't it? The spiritual world needs light as much as our physical world needs light. And there are many, many purposes that light serves in our world at this particular time. Light is essential to life, isn't it? John 1 verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's turn off the sun for a couple of years, and let's see what happens on planet Earth. It's not going to be a pretty picture, is it? The earth becomes cold. The earth becomes void. And there is death and demise in the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and in the kingdom of man. You see, light's essential to what? To life itself. Secondly, light removes darkness, doesn't it? Look at the opening words of Matthew 4:16. And the people that sat in darkness saw a what? A great light. Aren't you glad you have light switches in your house? I am. When I get up on Sunday mornings early, Kathleen's still in bed, and I have to turn off the lights in the bathroom to get into the living room, and it's dark. And I walk up there like a blind man trying to find the doorknob to get out of the bedroom. I've run into the wall a couple of times. And you know what I could do? I could just turn that light switch on, and I could dispel every bit of that darkness, could I not? But you know what I'd do? I'd expose a mad woman. So I don't do that, okay? But the purpose of light is to what? Is to dispel darkness. Darkness flees when light comes on. How about this next one? Light enables us to see, does it not? The light of the body is what? The eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body be filled with light. Have you ever been in a cave and had the lights turned out? I don't care how much you pull on your eyeballs, you still can't see, can you? And you look and you look and you look. Somebody's talking to you. Kathleen can be 2 inches from me and talking to me. And you can't see one thing. Absolute darkness. Why? Because light is needed to see. God has designed our eyes so that you and I capture the light. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Isn't that interesting? He shined in our hearts to give light. To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, the reason Jesus was sent is so that spiritual men can see what is the truth. How about this next one? Light enables us to walk on a clear path, doesn't it? With no lights, we would stumble. With no lights, we'd fall off cliffs. With no lights, we'd walk over rocks, step on snakes, All kinds of things would happen to us with no lights. Jesus said, I am yet a little while, and what? The light is with you. And he tells them to embrace that light in the next part. Walk while there is light, lest the darkness come unto you. For he that walketh in darkness, what? Knoweth not whither he goeth. Folks, light is essential to our walking in this world. Light warns of danger, does it not? Why do we have lighthouses today? To warn those ships as they approach the shore that there's danger here, isn't there? Light's essential to healing. You have a little baby that's jaundiced, what do they tell you to do? Take him to the beach. No, they don't tell you to do that. But they do tell you to put him under the light, don't they? Used to, about the only thing you could do is wheel him up to a window in the house that had light pouring in. But there were healing aspects to the light, wasn't there? Light provides warmth, doesn't it? We used to go camping when I was at the children's home, and let me tell you, we've been in some cold, cold weather. And we'd have little bitty candles, little one-wick candles. And you'd be sitting around a campfire, have that little one-wick candle. Might be 15 degrees outside. You know what you do? Well, you put your hands right over that little candle as it's burnt. Ooh, so good. Just a little bit of warmth in a lot of cold. But folks, light provides that warmth, doesn't it? We could talk about how light gives hope and cheer, doesn't it? If I'm lost in a cave and I look down into the depths of that cave and I see a little ray of light, hallelujah, there's a way out, isn't there? We've talked about how the rays of the morning light bring cheer to the heart of those who are sick and those who are on beds of affliction. There's a purpose to light, folks. And it's needed desperately in the spiritual world today. And guess who it is that brings it? It's none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And the question that I ask is this: how does Jesus manifest His light? What are the various modes? What are the various manifestations by which He illuminates this world? And there's four of them that came to mind. Number one, He does so through His teaching, doesn't He? Notice that to be without knowledge is to be in darkness. To have knowledge is to be in light. One of the reasons that Jesus came to this world was in order to reveal the will of the Father to lost humanity. I want you to listen to Habakkuk 2 verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as what? As the waters that cover the sea. Why did God send Jesus into the world? So knowledge would be manifested throughout all the entirety of the world. What did Jesus tell His disciples? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? To bring light to the world. Secondly, how did Jesus spread light? By His example, did He not? There's an old saying that goes something like this: I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Isn't that true? And Jesus enlightened the world by His example, didn't He? Notice, did Jesus give us an example how to serve others? You go to John the 13th chapter, and there all of those individuals are there at that feast. Not one of them had gotten up to wash any of their feet. And one man stood up. Who was he? The Christ, the Son of God. It doesn't matter if nobody else wants to do it. You stand up and serve. What a lesson, isn't it? And it's a dirty job, isn't it? Feet are nasty. I only like to see feet after they had socks on, do you? Those men had dirty feet. And Jesus washed them. How many were there? It wasn't one, it was 12. 12 men. A lot of work. One at a time. Did he have to face any opposition? Remember Peter? No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. He even faced some opposition on that occasion, didn't he? And he still washed feet. You see, Jesus gave us a wonderful example of what it means to serve. How about this one? Did Jesus give us an example as to how to confront sin and iniquity? If you don't think he did, go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Ye scribes, ye Pharisees, hypocrites! Not once, numerous times he rebuked the religious rulers of his day. We don't let sin be committed without saying anything against it. Notice this one. Did Jesus give us an example of how to endure temptation? Absolutely. Matthew, the 4th chapter. 3 times Satan seeks to move Jesus away from the will of God, does he not? And every time Jesus responds with the words, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Jesus was committed to doing what God wanted him to do, wasn't he? I love this one. He gives us an example of how to persevere through struggle and pain and persecution, doesn't he? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that Jesus is our example in suffering, and we are to walk in His steps. See, Jesus didn't just teach. He showed people, and that example was a light to others. How about this one? By means of His works, John's gospel closes and says that if all the works of Jesus had been written, every one of them, that guess what? The world itself could not contain the books that should be written. John 21, verse 25. That's a lot of works, isn't it? So many works that the world couldn't even contain the books. Some of those works manifested the power and glory of God, didn't they? They were miraculous in nature. And you look at what Jesus did, and you can't but help understand the power of the living God. What did He do? He healed sickness and disease, did He not? He simply walks over to Peter's mother-in-law, takes her by the hand, and lifts her up, even though she had a great fever. We find Jesus having power over death. Roll away the stone, He said. And He simply calls out, "Lazarus, come forth." And He stepped out with His grave clothes, didn't He? John 11, 43 and 44. He had power over nature, did He not? They're in that boat with those disciples. They're scared. They're going to die. And He calms the winds and He calms the seas, and immediately there is a great still, a calm over nature. Wow. Jesus had power over demons, didn't He? These demons could inflict the body of another human being and take away their free will. And yet Jesus could just speak to that demon and command him to come forth. How about power over time? Acts chapter 2, Jesus is at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. They run out of wine. They only have what? Water. Now water's essential to wine, isn't it? But all Jesus had to do is say, "Fill up the jugs." And immediately there was wine. Power over time. What was Jesus trying to do? He's trying to show the world the greatness and the power and the deity of the Almighty God. He's trying to enlighten the world as to who God really is. His works manifested light. But lastly, Jesus manifested His light through His death, didn't He? I don't know about you, but the death of Jesus is probably the darkest day that there has ever been on the face of this earth. An innocent man was put to death, wasn't he? An innocent man. How about this one? The Son of God. Not just a man, the Son of God was hung upon the cross of Calvary. It was the religious leaders, those individuals who were supposed to be the shining lights of their day. It was those individuals whose dark hearts condemned Him to death. Satanly, successfully attacked and overcame the apostles of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, it wasn't just Judas. It wasn't just Peter. The Bible says that all of them in that garden forsook Him and fled. All of them. It's a dark day. As Jesus hung upon the cross of Calvary, a darkness fell upon Judah and Jerusalem. Wouldn't you like to have been there? I'd like to have seen that darkness. You could probably have felt that darkness. You know what God was doing? God was demonstrating in a symbolic way the darkness of the crucifixion. It was a dark day. Yet the death of Jesus brought the light of salvation to mankind, did it not? What Jesus did on that day was absolutely essential if you and I are going to become right in the sight of God. One had to die in order to pay the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death, the Bible says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18, verse 20. Somebody had to die, and Jesus did. Blood was needed in order for there to be remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9, verse 22. A sacrifice was needed in order to please God. Folks, man was displeasing to the Almighty God. Go home and read Isaiah 53:10. God was in heaven. He looked down upon that altar. He looked down upon the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And the Bible says with it, He was pleased. It was on that day that a death was needed in order to bring life, 1 John 4, verse 9. It was at the crucifixion that a ransom was paid so that you and I could be freed from the hand of Satan and of death. It was at the cross of Calvary that an offering was given to turn away the wrath of the Almighty God, Romans 5, verse 9. It was a dark day, but it's also a manifestation of the light of the world, wasn't it? In John 12, 35, Jesus expressed a very, very simple truth in the last part of the verse. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Aren't you glad God sent His light into the world? You see, as the light of the world, Jesus has ended the plight of darkness. There's absolutely no reason for any of us to walk in the kingdom of the darkness anymore. And here's what's interesting. There's only two things you have to do to get out of darkness and get into the light. Just two things. The first one is this: believe that Jesus is the light. I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me, what does he say? Should not abide in darkness. Notice he doesn't say believe only, does he? Because you see, there's another point that has to be done, and it's this. You've got to follow him. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but should have the light of life. I've got to believe. And my friend, I've got to follow Him by doing His will. That's found in this book. Have you escaped the darkness of this world? If you're not a Christian, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you're still in darkness. You need to obey today. The steps are simple. Hear the truth. Believe in Jesus as the Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess the beautiful name of Jesus. And be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said. Mark 16, 16. What's interesting is this. When you and I are called out of darkness, we become the children of what? The children of light. And yet, it's possible for a Christian to cause his light to become dim, even completely turned off in this world. Through sin, through forsaking the Christ, through unfaithfulness, my friend, do you need to repent? The only way to live is to live in the light. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?
Why keep Jesus waiting in the